RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo scheduled to inaugurate WEF East Asia Forum. Poland plans to invest in Indonesian sea toll project. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo is scheduled to inaugurate the 24th World Economic Forum WEF on East Asia to be held on April 19th to 21st. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Sofian Jalil noted during a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday that the meeting would be attended by around 700 participants from 40 countries, including CEOs, corporate leaders, businessmen, government officials and representatives from international and non-governmental organizations. Susan Falakurti Rao, the Senior Director of the Head of the World Economic Forum Asia-Pacific, who was also present at the press conference, stated that now was the right time for Indonesia to again become the host of the World Economic Forum meeting after holding it in 2011. In view of its huge potential for economic development in the Asian region, the WEF Forum is an impartial forum to discuss and overcome 10 global challenges, which could be tackled only through cooperation between all parties and between the government and the private sector. The independent non-profit institution unites business players, politicians, academics, and other community leaders to shepherd an agenda in the global, regional, and industrial spheres. Two Polish seat-building companies, Mars and Remontawa, are interested in making investments in Indonesian sea toll project. Both companies plan to invest in procuring ships that are capable of operating in small ports. Jaroslav Staluska, a commercial area manager of Mars, said in Jakarta on Tuesday, April 16, 2015, that Poland even creates a vessel that can run through large rivers. The two companies had previously made a vessel for Indonesian Marine Police. The cooperation has been going on since 1960. Mars and Remontawa have an annual production capacity of 12 large vessels measuring more than 100 times 50 times 4 meters, while simultaneously building dozens of narrow-body vessels. Meanwhile, Industrial Minister Saleh Husin expected Poland to invest in developing industrial areas, especially in Sumatra. Minister Saleh promised to provide tax incentive should Polish businessmen are interested in developing industrial shipyard in Indonesia. The government of New Zealand has allocated $7 million for disaster risk reduction program in Bengkulu province. Head of the Regional Disaster Management Board BPBD at Bengkulu province, Usni Mahyudin, said in Bengkulu on Tuesday that the New Zealand government is supporting the program in Bengkulu through a research and science organization. He added that programs will be carried out in Bengkulu province and Seluma district. A memorandum of understanding for the establishing cooperation has been signed by the BPDD, Gajah Mada University, UGM, and representative of New Zealand government. A legislative member of Bengkulu, Parial appreciated the cooperation, considering that Bengkulu is vulnerable to natural disaster, especially earthquake and tsunami. He also appreciated the involvement of UGM and University of Bengkulu in the program and expressed hope that the knowledge of disaster risk reduction will be disseminated among communities. Activities carried out under the Disaster Risk Reduction Program include preparation and action plan for disaster risk reduction, improving public knowledge, sharing building and space planning know-how, and developing early warning systems. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Jakarta Composite Index JCI opened slightly lower on Friday, mainly as a result of negative external sentiment. The JCI fell 2.72 points, or around 0.05%, to 5,480.01 points, with the 45 most liquid stock declining 0.69 points or 0.19% to 941.53. Falburi Asia Securities Lead Research Alfianza said, as quoted by Antara News Agency, that external sentiment was one of the triggers of the GCI's correction, and one of them was from Greece, which is in negotiation with international creditors. Meanwhile, NHAG Korindo Securities Indonesia lead researcher Reza Priambada said the strengthening of GCI was hindered by the absence of positive sentiment, which could prompt investors to make stock purchases. But he hoped foreign investors would decrease their share selling, while at the same time rupiah's appreciation would prevent heavy pressure on the GCI. The construction industry in Indonesia is projected to grow by 14.26% in 2015 and plays an important role in the nation's economic growth, according to Indonesia Architect Association IAI Secretary General Satrio Herlambang. He noted that the construction market's growth potential is enormous due to the high demand of infrastructure development, along with several challenges that must be faced. The Indonesian Architect Association Secretary General pointed out that the Myanmar Real Estate and Construction Monitor had observed an increase in interest from Indonesian construction companies to capitalize on the opportunities in Myanmar. He explained that WICA has undertaken a multifunctional development project in Yangon worth around $270 million, covering commercial and residential units that will be ready in 2017. The government of Indonesia will soon build several border posts in North Kalimantan Province bordering Malaysia. Most of the border posts will be built in Malinau District, North Kalimantan. Commander Border Security Task Force of Airborne Infantry Battalion 433 Julu Siri, Lieutenant Colonel Agustatius Sitepu, said on Thursday. Several border posts in Nunukan District, which are no longer worth using, will be renovated. Sitepu said Saikacha border post, which is not far from the Nunukan Island, is being renovated. A new border post will likely to be built in Simangaris Lama area. The Saikacha border post, which has become cause for concern, has come close to collapsing. The last item. Villages, Disadvantaged Regions Development Transmigration Minister Marwan Jafar has set a target to provide internet access to 5,000 villages this year. He is optimistic that the target can be achieved despite funding problems. He emphasized that the government needs to promote internet connectivity in rural areas, as currently the number of online-based villages is small. He hopes that the NGOs and the private sectors could also support the online villages program. The objective of the online villages program is to facilitate communication and information to and from rural areas. By providing internet connectivity, villages could obtain information from the central government easily, and the central administration could firmly access information about the villages. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled ISIS Launches Is Influenced. In a report early this week, U.S. military officials said that Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, has unoccupied more than a quarter of the area after they began to build Islamic Caliphate. Based on the map published by Pentagon, it shows the Iraqi army has occupied territory in the north of the country, Sinjar Mountain region and around Mosul Dam. Pentagon spokesperson Steve Warren confirmed this fact. Although quite successful in Iraq, the strategy of ISIS cannot be applied in Syria successfully. There is a difference between Iraq and Syria. ISIS only occupies a smaller region around Damascus and Aleppo. Instead, ISIS loses occupation in Kobani. In addition, support for Iraqi forces can also restore the occupied territories of ISIS. While in Syria, fragmentation among the militant rebels makes the coalition get less support. Warren added, the coalition strategy is also different. In Syria, the coalition wants to prevent militants of ISIS creating protected areas, while in Iraq, the coalition wants ISIS out of the country. The attack of ISIS against all people was also responded by Palestinian militants who live in Yarmouk refugee camp in Damascus, Syria. Palestinian fighter said that the militia of ISIS has been beaten back on Wednesday, 15th of April 2015, from around the position of the camp. However, other factions in the camp even denied the pullback of ISIS militants from the camp. The United Nations UN was worried about the fate of Palestinian refugees in the camp that had been surrounded by the militia of ISIS. Meanwhile, last week, UN Secretary-General Ban Ki-moon expressed concern over Yarmouk residents, especially children who have to suffer from the scarcity of food and medicines. The inhabitants of the camp must undergo the siege of ISIS and the siege of the Syrian government forces. Meanwhile, an analyst from Center for American Progress, Brian Katulis, admitted that he did not know what would happen in Iraq. In addition, Iraq should not depend on the Shia militias, mainly because Iraq cannot guarantee what will happen to the majority of Sunni community. The latest information indicates that UN Secretary-General Ban Ki-moon was excited with the liberation of Tikrit City, but worried about the human rights violation and the destruction of property by the militia that helped Iraqi forces. Another idea proposed to prevent the killing of a certain Muslim group in the area that has been free from the occupation of ISIS is by arming local units to defend themselves. ISIS still controls the oil-rich region in North Iraq to fund its organization. The faster the ISIS militants surrender, the better for the people are in Iraq and Syria. Operation in the name of any religion or other reasons cannot be maintained anymore. The victims are always lay people who are not in nonsense. Listener, that's commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello there, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with 1961, Bay of Pigs invasion. A group of Cuban exiles financed and trained by the CIA lands at the Bay of Pigs in Cuba with the aim of ousting Fidel Castro. The Bay of Pigs invasion was failed military invasion of Cuba undertaken by the CIA-sponsored paramilitary group Brigade on 17 April 1961. A counter-revolutionary military trained and funded by the United States Government Central Intelligence Agency, or CIA, Brigade 2506 fronted the armed wing of the Democratic Revolutionary Front, or DRF, and intended to overthrow the communist government of Fidel Castro. Launched from Guatemala, the invading force was defeated within 3 days by the Cuban armed forces under the direct command of the Prime Minister of Cuba, Fidel Castro. The failed invasion strengthened the position of Castro's dictatorship and strengthened ties with the USSR. This led eventually to the events of the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962. The invasion was a major embarrassment for the United States foreign policy. John Kennedy ordered a number of internal investigations across Latin America. Over now to 1971. The People's Republic of Bangladesh forms under Sheikh Mujibur Rahman at Mujib Nagar. Bangladesh, officially the People's Republic of Bangladesh, is the world's 8th most populous country with over 160 million people and among the most densely populated countries. The present-day borders of Bangladesh took shape during the partition of Bengal and British India in 1947, when the region came to be known as East Pakistan as part of the newly formed state of Pakistan. It was separated from West Pakistan by 1,400 kilometers of Indian territory due to political exclusion, ethnic and linguistic discrimination, and economic neglect by the politically dominant Western wing. Nationalism, popular agitation, and civil disobedience led to the Bangladesh Liberation War and independence in 1971. After independence, the new state endured poverty, famine, political turmoil, and military coups. The restoration of democracy in 1991 has been followed by relatively calm and economic progress. Bangladesh is a next 11 emerging economy. It has achieved significant strides in human and social development since independence, including in progress in gender equity, universal primary education, food production, health and population control. However, Bangladesh continues to face numerous political, economic, social, and environmental challenges, including political instability, corruption, poverty, overpopulation, and climate change. The country is a member of the Commonwealth of Nations, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and the Non-Aligned Movement. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Focus. Today's topic is about Indonesia sends protest to the government of Saudi Arabia. Listener, one of Indonesian migrant workers, Siti Zainab from Bangkalan, Madura, East Java, was sentenced to death in Medina, Saudi Arabia, on Tuesday at 10 local time. Even the death execution was occurred without giving prior information to the Indonesian government. Zainab sentenced to death for allegedly killing her employer in Saudi Arabia in 1999. Responding to the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno LP Marsudi, said the Indonesian government has cast a harsh protest note to Saudi Arabian government and summon Saudi Arabia's ambassador to give explanation regarding the implementation of the death penalty. Minister Ratna deplored the Saudi Arabian government that the execution did not notify to the Indonesian government. Indonesian government, according to Minister Ratna, continues to provide optimum protection to its citizens. Ratna explained, the entire efforts have actually been done by the government, ranging from diplomatic, legal track, as well as family approach to the heirs of the employer who was killed by Siti Zainab. So far, the Indonesian government has also lobbied Saudi Arabian government to cancel the execution. Moreover, President Joko Widodo has also asked for clemency to Zainab. However, all these attempts failed because the families of the victims do not forgive Zainab. Related to that matter, the Commission 1 of the House of Representatives appreciates the effort of the embassy and the Indonesian Consulate General in Saudi Arabia. which for many years have advocated the murder case with the defendant, the migrant worker Siti Zainab, which eventually executed on Tuesday, April 14, 2015. According to Mahfuz, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the Indonesian embassy cannot do anything because there is no forgiveness filed by family despite enormous diat bid. He explained, since there are a number of citizens who threatened to death sentence, the Commission 1 asked the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to form a joint team with the Manpower Ministry, the National Agency for the Placement and Protection of Migrant Workers, and the Ministry of Justice and Human Rights. Because legal cases of Indonesian citizens abroad not only concerned by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs only, and upstream factors that send workers abroad as well. Meanwhile, Professor of International Law, the University of Indonesia, Hikmahanto Juwana said, the death execution for Indonesian migrant workers in Saudi Arabia, Siti Zainab, should become valuable lessons for the Attorney General that currently doing process to hold death penalty. Hikmahanto asked the Attorney General to take stern action, such as the Saudi Arabian authority, in the implementation of death penalty. However, the Attorney General should avoid consular mistakes such to be done by Saudi Arabia. The execution should be informed to the country's authority and family according to the international laws. Listener, that was today's focus.
Here are the headlines of several national newspapers published today, Friday, April 17, 2015. I'm Dalat Pane. Sindo newspaper writes, never again buy used aircraft. The incident of F-16 Fighting Falcon number registration TS-1643, which was burned at Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport, Jakarta on Thursday morning, has to be momentum for the Air Force to evaluate all its combat forces. The Parliament hopes that Indonesia is no longer relies on grants or purchases used aircraft to strengthen its main weapon system or defense equipment. Member of the House of Representatives Commission 1, Tantowi Yahya, said that Commission 1 has no longer recommend the purchase of second-hand aircraft. He also asked the Air Force to immediately investigate the F-16 incident. While the military observers Susan Ningtyas Nevo Handayani Kertopati urged the government to no longer use the pattern of grants in the used defense procurement. Meanwhile, Kompas writes, the Indonesian military TNI commander General Muldoko hopes there will no grant of used aircraft. It must be replaced with the new armaments. It was stated by Muldoko in relation to the burning incident of F-16 Fighting Falcon fighter aircraft at Halim Perdana Kusuma. Meanwhile, the Air Force Chief of Staff Marshal Agus Priyatna said the plane was included in the grand project of 24 F-16 from the United States. He said Indonesia had 5 planes came from Utah, USA to Madiun East Java. A total of 19 other aircraft is scheduled to arrive this year. Meanwhile, Media Indonesia writes, Trade Minister vows clearing the issues of food mafia. Indonesian Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel said, Indonesia, in the last 3 months, can achieve a trade surplus because it can reduce imports of consumer goods, especially basic needs. For that, he thinks the problem of basic needs will be a priority in the immediate issuance of presidential regulation on the establishment and storage of basic commodities. Rahmat added that the draft regulation that has been submitted to the Cabinet Secretary is motivated to protect consumers and farmers of the food price game or the invasion of imported commodities prices created rich employers. Later, the government will assign a category of 11 major commodities such as rice, sugar, soybean, cooking oil, chili, onion, beef, chicken, eggs, tofu and tempeh. Tempo writes, the inauguration of Badruddin Haiti as chief of police will not stop an investigation against the former head of the KPK of the former head of KPK or the Corruption Eradication Commission, Abraham Samad and Wijoyanto. Badruddin Haiti confirms police will forward all criminal cases handled by the appropriate authority, although Badruddin Haiti does not mention how the conflict resolution between the Corruption Eradication Commission and the police. But he handed over the investigation of the two former leaders of the commission to the Criminal Investigation Department of the police headquarters. Well, listener, that was Headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo is scheduled to inaugurate the 24th World Economic Forum, WEF, on East Asia to be held on April 19th to 21st. Coordinating Minister for Economy Persopian Jalil noted during a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday that the meeting would be attended by around 700 participants from 40 countries, including CEOs, corporate leaders, businessmen, government officials and representatives from international and non-governmental organizations. Two Polish seed building companies, Mars and Raymond Tower, are interested in making investment in Indonesia's sea toll project. Both companies plan to invest in procuring ships that are capable of operating in small ports. The government of New Zealand has allocated $7 million for disaster risk reduction programs in Bengkulu province. Head of the Regional Disaster Management Board, BPBD, of Bengkulu province, Husni Mahyudin, said in Bengkulu on Tuesday that the New Zealand government is supporting the programs in Bengkulu through a research and science organization. Jakarta Composite Index, GCI, opened slightly lower on Friday, mainly as a result of negative external sentiment. The GCI fell 2.72 points, or around 0.05%, to 5,418.01 points, with the 45 most liquid stocks declining 0.69 points, or 0.19%, to 941.53. The construction industry in Indonesia is projected to grow by 14.26% in 2015 and plays an important role in the nation's economic growth, according to Indonesian Architect Association IEA Secretary General Satrio Herlambang. The government of Indonesia will soon build several border posts in North Kalimantan province bordering Malaysia. Most of the border posts will be built in Malinau District, North Kalimantan. Commander Border Security Task Force of the Airborne Infantry Battalion 433, Julu Sri Lieutenant Colonel Agustatius Sitepu said on Thursday. Villages and Disadvantaged Regions Development and Transmigration Minister Marwan Jaffer set a target to provide internet access to 5,000 villages this year. He is optimistic that the target can be achieved despite funding problems. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I'll invite you to travel to Bogor, West Java Province. So stay tuned. Since it is not far from Jakarta, only about 1.5 hours drive away, making Bogor City becomes a favorite tourist destination for Jakarta people and foreign tourists. There are various interesting sites, particularly natural waterfalls. In Bogor, you will find a wide range of waterfalls with all its size and beauty. One of them is located in the tourist area of Mount Salak Endah, located in the western part of the Bogor city. There are a lot of waterfalls in this tourist area, but the most famous one is Cigamea Curug or Cigamea Waterfalls. Cigamea Waterfalls is located in the Gunung Sari village, Pamijahan sub-district, Bogor Regency, which is part of the region of Mount Salak Endah tourism area. Mount Salak Endah is approximately 38 kilometers from the Bogor city. From the entrance of this area, you have to walk down the valley approximately 350 meters or about 20 minutes travel time to arrive at the location of the Ngumpet Waterfall. The road to the waterfall is a path made of stones which were arranged to form stairs. Along the way, you will see monkeys which will approach you. In this area, there are at least about 50 monkeys. Cigamea Waterfall consists of two major waterfalls with different characters. The first waterfall is closer to the entrance with steep cliff walls and dominated by black rocks. The water that flows onto the pond is not too deep and wide, so it cannot be used for swimming. While the second waterfall is about 30 meters from the first waterfall and is located in the gap cliff. The second waterfall has a height of about 50 meters with brownish black rock cliffs. The pond of the second waterfall is quite deep, so it can be used for swimming. When you want to swim, you do not need to bring a change of clothes. You do not need to worry. All the way to the waterfall, there are clothes seller, so you can buy for clothes. In addition to swimming, in the Cigamea waterfall, there are also small fish bones that are rented for a fish therapy. You can try the fish therapy here. If you are tired, you can get a rest and enjoy some snacks and drinks, which are sold in a few stalls. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Curug Cigamea or Cigamea Waterfalls. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, dear listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today's edition will introduce you the legend of seven tiger men from Bengkulu. Tiger is an animal which is considered wild and scary because of its unfriendly look. Behind it all, there is a legend about tigers spreading in Bengkulu, Sumatra. Seven tiger men is a legend which has been passed from generation to generation in Bengkulu. This story is then made into a series by Indonesian young filmmakers. But where is the legend from? The story of Seven Tiger Men is taken from a novel by Motingo Bosje, who was born in Kupang Kota, Lampung, November 21, 1937. This novel takes the background of a culture in Kumayan Jati village in the remote area of Bengkulu. The Seven Tiger Men made the village the most respected and the most dreadful. Because if people want to live in the village, they have to obey rules of leaders there, namely humans that can turn into tigers. The very popular story, which is very popular in Bengkulu, is often told verbally. It is the culture of verbal retelling that often makes a story become a legend. Eventually, the story of Seven Tiger Men is more known as a legend. This legend has been successfully adopted in a series by Indonesian filmmakers. The successful film series can inspire and encourage other Indonesian young filmmakers with the background of Indonesian legend. Now the film series with the theme of legend in Indonesia show up a lot in the Indonesian film industry. If it is well explored, Indonesia keeps many legend stories which are interesting to develop. With different background and places of origin, Indonesian legend is getting rich and varied. Films with legend stories as the background are expected to give a new knowledge for Indonesian people. The legend of Seven Tiger Men is a mystical story which describes culture and tradition in Indonesia in the past. Indonesian people who come from various culture, custom, and tradition are indeed still identical to mystical things. It may be the real attraction of legend stories. Well, for listener, that ends today's miscellany on the legend of Seven Tiger Men. I'm Rahma, thanks for listening.
meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you two Indonesian dangdut singers, Jenny Juliana and Siti Badria. Well, listener, to begin the program, here is a song by Jenny Juliana, Diri Jack. Check this one out. Indonesian dangdut singers create music that makes people on fire in doing daily activities. The music describes fun things, pickup line, and annoyance. Out of the numerous dangdut singers, now we present two dangdut singers, namely Jenny Juliana and Siti Badria. Listener, Jenny Juliana was born in Bandung, West Java, July 1, 1987. She is popularly known as Jenita Janet. She began her career as a mobile dangdut singer when she was in senior high school. In 2013, Jenita Janet got an opportunity to release the first single called Diri Jack. From here, Jenita started enjoying fame with her typical performance with go-go dangdut dance and colorful style and outfits. With such a look, many people call her Katy Perry from Indonesia. Well, listener, now let's enjoy more song from Jenita Janet called Gue Juga Bisa. Happy listening.
Kamu pikir cuma kamu yang bisa begitu. Aku pun bisa lebih seperti kamu. Jangan kau anggap aku kan diam saja. Bila ternyata cinta kau gores luka. Andai saja dirimu selalu setia, cintaku takkan pernah berubah arah.
Listener, now we move to Siti Badriah, or also known as Sibat, who was born in Bekasi, November 11, 1991. Siti Badriah has loved singing since she was a child. To sharpen her talent, Siti Badriah often joined music festival to gain more experience. Because of her hard work and talent, she sings a song composed by Endang Rais. She was then offered by the founder of Nagaswara label to release a debut single. Finally, Siti Badriah becomes a popular dangdut singer in Indonesia along with Zaskia Gotik. Listener, that was a glimpse of Siti Badriah's profile. And before we end the program, here are two songs by Siti Badriah entitled Antara Dilema dan Galau or Andilau and Keenakan. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in the next interesting edition of Music Corner.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Sama kamu diputusin, ternyata kamu yang kuanggap nyebelin, tapi gak bisa kulupain. Yang hitam, yang putih ku cobain, yang tinggi, yang pendek aku rasain, tapi kamu yang sedang
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.